was building, did you get Bernard Cascade done a year before the high school or not?
No, all the same time.
All the same time.
I mentioned that in this if you want me to.
I often laughed that we had. Well, are you taping already?
Yeah.
Okay, well, why don't we start?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I thought probably the best place to start was the beginning of Western Dubuque, was the time of 1958 was a time of great change in Iowa. The rural schools were still there in some places. Dubuque County was a good example. They had 80 of them yet, as late as 1958. And reorganization was on everybody's eye, because in 1958, the legislature passed a law that said by 1960, all districts had to have a high school, and they had to have a minimum of 300 kids. And so that really threw things. And in Dubuque County alone, we had 61 small school districts, 61. Right. 51 of them were part or all in Western Dubuque.
Mm-hmm. What was your situation, Wayne, before, I mean,
okay,
superintendent of the school?
Yeah, well, okay, in 1956, I got my master's degree at Iowa, my superintendent certificate. And I got to be appointed to the Dubuque County superintendency in 1957. On the day after New Year's, I started in 1957 as Dubuque County superintendent. And I walked right into that. The guy that was there for 40 years was Joe Flynn. And he did a good job in his day, but he was completely out of it. Reorganization didn't mean a thing to him. He didn't want no part of it. And so when he left, the funny thing is, I'd been 29 years old. I had never had a day of administration in my life. Here I was in county superintendent. And a day after New Year's, and I got sworn in at 8 o'clock in the morning. And at 10 o'clock, I had a delegation of about 30 people coming in to see me, to see what my position was on reorganization.
Oh, boy. And was it a hostile group?
And I said, well, I'm busy today because I had to go and look up what the hell reorganization was. So I did some studying on that, and they came back. And that was the start of a very fine group. That was the Bud Rosses and the Dwight Myers and the Shermans and all of these guys began to get together, and they realized something had to be done.
So they weren't hostile.
They
knew the law.
Don't think for a minute that reorganization by the majority was done for education.
Yeah.
It was done to keep the taxes down. We had a massive group of people and buildings and evaluation. So tax, was going to be spread. The other thing we had to worry about pretty much was getting 300 kids. At that time, all we had was Epworth was a small high school, and
they were kind of independent, right?
Epworth Farley had just closed as an independent as a high school. Piasta, you're an expert on that area. Yeah. They had a few kids there yet, but that was the start of it. But then when the big thing was, of course, at the early days, was what are we going to do here? When we passed the district. Well, before that even, when we were forming the district, we had to decide what it was. There was a time when everybody believed we'd all go to Dubuque. One county district. That was pretty much given. And then, of course, the guys out in New Yannon, Guyersville, and so forth, they didn't want that. They wanted to get something of their own that they could control, a tax place to keep the things down. And so then there was a I remember saying one day, well, why don't we just try to divide it? We'll have two districts. And then, well, then what? How much, how we're going to do it? Well, then another thing happened that caused us a lot of trouble. Clayton, Delaware, Jones, and Jackson County, some of them wanted in too. Not for education, but for forming that. I can remember we employed Hal Reynolds, the attorney. He made a living on West Dubuque in the early days. Every day I worked with him. And we had a big hearing in Des Moines to decide that the state was going to let us go ahead or not. They thought we were, they referred to us as a sham district.
Because all Catholics.
Yeah, yeah. I knew the state superintendent, I can't think of his name right now, but he'd say, Drex, damn, you're going to have a sham district. You ain't got no kids. All you got is a bunch of guys that want to get out of taxes.
Is that Johnston? Or
no, he was from...
Well, that's all right, no. I remember.
Anyway, I played poker with him, had a lot of fun. He was a good egg. And so then we had to decide on what was going to be the boundaries. And they were fighting us in Delaware County and all these places. They had delegations and a lawyer from each county. I went down there that day, and we had one of them big rooms down in the state house. I had 9 lawyers supporting. 9. Every one of those, like Delaware County had a lawyer, Jackson County had a lawyer, different guys who didn't represent anybody. They didn't want to get their land in, they had a lawyer. So I can remember Don Potter, the old superintendent, county superintendent from Delaware. He was looking at about 10 guys across that table, and we got what we wanted. We got, that's the time.
They didn't want to lose them, probably, some of them.
No, they didn't. No, of course not. We bit pretty hard into places like Maquoketa Valley and down in Jackson County and so forth. And they had to be contiguous with a piece of land in our area. But that's the time the district was decided on as one district here and one in Dubuque. Dubuque, I have to say, Max Clark and his group were very good. They didn't seem to really, they did nothing to fight us. They said, hey, anybody wants to go to your district can go. And we'll keep what's left. Mm-hmm. And they weren't anxious too much to go out to Piazza and places like that. So it was very amicable. And we drew, if you look at that line east of Piazza, it's pretty jagged.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know, we were picking farm out, this one, anybody at all. So that was the start then of the two districts. Then the 300 kids, when... In 1960, I might go back just a little personal thing. When we finished forming Western Dubuque, my job as county superintendent was done. And they offered me a 3-year contract as county superintendent to keep me in Dubuque at $8,000 a year. And so I took it. And I, as far as I knew, my work in Western Dubuque was done. And it got closer. It was in probably May or June in there. It was going to form in 60. The district was going to be in place on July 1, and they had to have a superintendent and so was. And
I was, have a school board?
They elected the school board. In May.
Of 60.
In May.
Okay. But that was an official. And did they have to vote to...
Yes.
The public had to vote?
Yes.
For forming the district, too?
Yes. Okay. That and the school board.
That was May 60. Mm-hmm.
And then my job as county superintendent was to call that board together, swear them in, and I just told them I'll help you in any way I can. But I figured they'd go out and do it. Well, then, we lived on Sunny View Drive in Dubuque, up by Clark College. And we had a nice home there. And one night, about 7 o'clock, I was cutting grass out in the yard. And here comes Deutmeyer and Ross, or I'm not just sure who, the two or three of them. And I said, "How you doing, guys?" And they said, "Well, good." And I said, "What do you want?" And they said, "We want a superintendent." So that really floored me, because I just signed a contract, and I went back, said, we talked about it, and it sounded good. I enjoyed the possibilities, but they said you have to get a replacement, or we won't let you go. So I called up Creed Copeland and got him to take my position, and he wasn't ready yet, but he got an emergency thing and got it done anyway. So that's how I got into the thing.
So you had worked with all those board members quite a bit before that. To help set it up.
So you guys drove around the whole area and met with people?
Well, they didn't too much, but I did. I never spent a year like I did in 1959, because there was all these districts. And I was working alone. I had a secretary, nobody, no other help to do any of that stuff. And I wanted to get to all 51 voting places, and I did. And that was an experience that you can't believe. I generally take one a night, try to get in at about 7 o'clock, and it was really fun. I remember some of the little districts. They called a meeting, and they all lined the chairs up in the kitchen, and women had to get out of there because they didn't have no part in that.
You'd actually meet in their house, not so much the school.
Right. I remember one, these little districts were legal districts, but they didn't do anything for years.
Some of them didn't have school.
One of these districts over in New Vienna, I remember I came and they said, "We better call this meeting to order." I said, "Yeah, that'd be good." So they did. They got a guy and he called it to order. And the last meeting was somewhere in 1918. And then I remember another night we went over to someone, a little district up near Rickardsville or someplace, and they all got, again, the women would never take part. They just didn't seem to be around. All the men would meet out in the porch or something. And then the first thing they did was they got a gallon of whiskey. And they, and they pass it on to the next guy. And it come to me, and I wasn't in a position to get drunk. I had a speech to make,
And, oh, God, that's great.
And I had one speech that I made all the time, and I always said, I told him about Rip Van Winkle. Rip Van Winkle, and he was a good guy, and he went to sleep, and in all the next years, he came to life, and everything had changed. Analogy of what happened, the districts, and of course a great deal of change was taking place at that time. The sisters were employed by the school district.
My sister up at Holy Cross.
Yeah. And New Vienna.
They didn't have any school to go.
Right. But, that in itself was gross. You couldn't do it. So, that's another story on the side on that. One day after about a couple of weeks that I started as county superintendent in Dubuque, I got a call from the editor of the Telegraph. And he said, "I'd like to have a meeting with you a certain day." And I got down there, Monsignor Bishop Driscoll.
Yeah, sure.
He was the Catholic school's representative.
Superintendent of school.
So they had us both on the, and then they brought out the fact that they were using the public funds to pay the sisters. And the guy was pretty good. In them days, they'd kill you now. But he said, "Look, we're not going to change history on this. Just don't do it again. Just stop it right there." And so Driscoll said, "Okay," and because there was no winning that. But that's how the change was great. And then other turmoil was happening, you know, at that time. The nuns were drying up. There were less and less of them. The priests were leaving. The Catholic school was under a change.
Yeah.
Had nothing to do with the reorganization, but they were needing to reorganize themselves into some sort of a better dynamic. So that's all that area, the change. And when we came in, of course, when I started July 1st, 1960, I was the only employee in the school district. And I got and then Buck was sort of there. We were good friends, Buck and I.
Was he actually like superintendent?
He was superintendent at Epworth.
Okay.
And a lot of people around Epworth really kind of resented that I got the job. And that I stole it from Buck and everything like that. And it was pretty open, and I got letters and everything. But not from Buck. I went down and I said, Buck, look, I got this thing and I need an administrator to help me. And do you want the job? And I got $11,000 that first year, and they gave Buck $8,000 to be. He was all principal, elementary and high school, the whole show. So, and my relationship with Buck was just perfect.
Well, how did you work with him before? Because in the
I was county superintendent, and he had one of the districts. See, and I had certain things I had to do
for even the independent district.
Right.
So, okay.
But and he was the only. No, Mrs. Hall was also.
Yeah. She's a pastor.
We had two administrators, but they weren't given contracts when I was. But then I was given the authority to start picking. Remember the first thing Buck and I did about the 2 days after the start, we went up at noon hour and we hired Mrs. Fees. Walked up Main Street and she was on the porch and I said, do you want a job? And she lasted for 40 years. But so that's then I had at that time I had to start putting the staff together, the teachers. And remember, this was July. School was starting in September. So I had about 60 days.
Of 60, 1960. Huh?
To put a staff together.
How many did you need?
Well, I had 19 one-room schoolhouses I run the first year in Western Dubuque.
Yeah.
We cut it down to 19. So I hired all of them. And like Mary Sweeney and some of those guys, and some of the ones that were from Epworth High School, we took a few of them. And so we gradually built a staff. But we had to get everything. We didn't have any bus drivers because we didn't have any buses. But we had to get custodians and everything like that. So
those one-room schools went for, 2 years then? 60, 61, and then 61, 62, probably, huh?
No, just 1 year.
Just 1 year.
1 year is all that I allowed the one-room schools to go.
So
then I brought them into like places like Epworth and Farley, and we started busing.
Oh, okay.
So we just run them 1 year, then of course, 61, 62, we were building.
Yeah.
At that time, the bond issue of $3,200,000. We had the high school, Bernard, Epworth Elementary, Darzell Kindergarten, an addition at Farley, all for $3,200,000.
Darzell Kindergarten building too, right?
Yeah.
Was that when you said that? Okay.
So that's the early days, and
not Cascade or.
Yeah, Cascade Elementary was all.
Bernard.
Yeah, all at one time. Yeah.
So they all. And they all opened in the fall of 62 then, with the high school.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because, see, I remember when you hired me.
Yep.
You told me that, you know, you had passed the bond issue, early 61 or
something? Yep.
And that you were building all these buildings.
I hired this young man here on the main street out in the middle of Piasta. Not,
yeah. It's a great day.
I couldn't
believe the school. I went to Loris Academy, you know. We had 700 kids. And we walk in this, it's like a house. Well, it is a house.
What?
We tore it down not too long. There's a room here and a room there. And we walk up and it's the open study hall area.
But if I can brag just a little bit about one thing I did, and I think I was pretty successful in hiring people.
Yeah, you were.
I had a set of goals that I really adhered to. I wanted people with sort of our beliefs. I did hire a lot of nuns, but they were damn good teachers.
Yeah.
And they were people. They weren't nuns. They were my teachers at that point, and they were good teachers. And even the ones that are not the nuns, I was looking for somebody that would fit into a new era. Public schools weren't looked on too hot, huh? In Dubuque County.
Oh, yeah.
We had a lot to prove. We had to go out there and do the best we could and not make people too mad at us and still do a good job. And I always believe I had a great staff, mostly very good staff, you know, and they stayed there and they were loyal and they made West Dubuque what it is.
Yeah, well, that was key. I agree with you.
Yep.
Now, where do I go from here?
I was just wondering, like, didn't Laverne Dietmeyer have to go to the meetings when you met with some of these people, or in that area, or Bud Ross and his area?
Never did. They never did, but we had a lot of big meetings.
Okay.
I never forget one night in Dyersville. We met on the second floor of the building there on down Main Street. It was a stormy session. It was where we're pretty sure we had the district just about, or did form, maybe we voted on. But there was a lot of opposition. We had people just, I probably shouldn't say this, but I'll tell you what, one guy got up and said, you know, we've never had public schools in this town, but we never had any boys killed in the war, and we never had any tornadoes. And that night, that same night, Hal Reynolds and I were on the stage, we're trying to conduct the dang meeting, and it was pretty riotous. And towards the end of the meeting, a lady come up around the back of the thing, come out, and she said, "You better get out of here right now." She said, "I'll take you out the back door." So we went down the damn back steps and out in the car, and away we went.
That riotous or worked up, huh? Was there any board member there at that, or they could, like a local person, like Bud?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I'm sure they might have been, they were down in the audience, you know.
Initial stages.
But as far as boardsmanship, I have one story that I tell over and over and over. In 61, when we were going to build a high school, where? And that was a hot topic.
Yeah.
There was Ray Sherman and, I'm not sure, but I think Ray Sherman and the guy from...
Riverica?
They wanted to go to Farley. And Bud Ross and Driscoll wanted it in Epworth. And I went to the meeting, and for about 3 weeks there were meetings all over the district. I wasn't at them. They didn't want me there. This is to decide on where the hell this was going, and it was divided, and it was hot.
Laverne was kind of the
and so fifth one. He was one, and we met that night, and laid it out. Said, we've got to make a decision. We've got to do it now. We've got to get a piece of ground. And we've got to do it now. And so two of them voted for the one, two for the other. Laverne, Epworth. Then, I never forgot that. Ray Sherman said, I move that we accept that and get right behind us now, and they voted 5-0 and said, no more of this, we're on our way. I thought that was great boardsmanship.
Yeah, that was a good timing.
That could have, you know, if that had went on, it could have broke up the district again. But
did you have a president of the board by then, or who?
No. First president of the board was Bud Ross, I think.
Was it? Okay.
Not sure. But there were, and this is all over the hill now, but there was reasons for that. Bud Ross was from Epworth.
Mm-hmm.
He went to school at Epworth, and he had his friends there. Ray Sherman was very much a Farleyite and believed in that and so forth. Dick Driscoll was pretty much told what to do.
By his brother, the Archbishop or whatever.
You said it. So, you know, there was...
They didn't want it to Farley, Farley St. Joe's.
Yeah. But that time, I really had that first board was a great board. And we were, I was an inexperienced superintendent, and they were a school board that never had existed in the area before. They really did a good job. They stayed with it. Bud Ross left first to get back to his business. But some of them, like Laverne,
Raker stayed a long time.
Raker stayed a long time. Driscoll didn't. He got off the first round. But they supported us. And
Ray stayed a long time. Ray Sherman, yeah.
Then we had to go out and get some kids. That was one of my first jobs. Buck and I went out. We decided, well, look, we're short.
Well, you only had what? You could count on what? Probably the ones from Epworth that were in the public school and the ones from Farley.
But that wasn't enough.
Yeah, I know that one. So you could. So the only sure ones you had, right?
Yeah. So you know what we leaned on? Kindergarten.
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
Kindergarten. We had to get them from kindergarten, and
that went over big in New Vienna, didn't it?
Buck and I went to New Vienna. We did a door to door. Can you imagine that? Door to door. We meet you, and he says, "We're here, and would you like to?" And we did pretty good. And I said, well, we had 10 or 15 of them from New Vienna. And the next week, the father said, he got up and he said, if you put your kids on that school bus, they're going to get pregnant.
Well, you know, I did a little research on some of those early years, and I saw some of the voting by the precincts on the decision to form the district and then to build on the school bond issue. I noticed Farley voted against it, percentage-wise.
Farley voted against not the original bond issue.
No, but then for the formation of the district, I think. One or the other. Anyway.
It was probably the Catholic school.
Yeah, I asked Pearl Sherman, I said, Pearl, why did Farley have a negative vote? Well, she said, Father, what's his name?
Priest there, oh.
Told him from the pulpit the old guy, they couldn't vote.
The hall's named after him, what's his name?
Yeah, Donnelly. Monsignor Donnelly.
He got up on the pulpit?
You know, that I should... he and I were good friends, old Monsignor Donnelly. I worked for the church. I cut their grass and I rang their bell and I did all kinds of things when I was first there. And he had me picked out to be a priest. And he was mad as heck because I didn't, you know, and he stayed with me all the way up to the time when I started Loras College, and then we had not a falling out, but he gave up on me. It wasn't what he wanted. And old Monsignor Donnelly had the first priest he had was the Father Drexler. Was the first ordained priest in the diocese ever, and it was his priest. And so he thought I'd make a good second. God bless him. But anyway,
how'd you guys do in Bankston?
We passed, you know, that we on the vote on the district passed in 50 of the 51 districts. Little district over near New Vienna, out in the country there, voted, St. Francis, voted against it.
Did it have to be a 50% vote or
to form the district?
Just 50%. Yeah. Mm. And they had no choice. They were swallowed up. So
you must have done a good job explaining that, getting that word out, get them to vote yes, but taxes was probably the key.
Truthfully, I never talked education much.
No.
Well, getting back to the enrollment, I'd say probably we had we had 360 kids this first year.
Did you?
360. That's everybody. Probably, I'm just guessing now, well over 100 of them were kindergarten kids.
Yeah,
and
maybe more.
And then, if you didn't think that was a year, that was a time, then that was in 1960 and 61 and 2. And by 69, our enrollment that day in 69 was 3,913 kids.
Wow.
3,916. It has never come close to that again.
That was 69?
I had 46 portable classrooms. I was renting everything I could get. I had rented rooms in the churches at at Pleasant Grove, at Cascade, St. Mary's, in Dyersville, New Vienna. Anything I could get a hold of.
Wasn't that an incredible switcheroo with all the parochials?
Right. And it was a great change, like I said before, for the people. I mean, they had relied on their small, every little town had a Catholic school. There were seven Catholic high schools in the district at that time, seven of them. And it was a change. The nuns worked for nothing, or practically nothing. And so education was not expensive. And this whole thing kind of swallowed them up. We were, and get back to my state superintendent, before the vote, he called me and we had a nice talk on the phone, and I said, we're going to pass that. And he said, if it does, I'll give the speech on dedication day. I said, I'll hold you to it, and he did. He was the state superintendent, came to Epworth on a Sunday afternoon and dedicated the First Western Dubuque High School.
How did you decide on where the property where the high school was?
Well, I remember we were meeting at Farley in them days, and we decided we'd go to Epworth, and we went down that gravel road now, ahead of where the high school is now, and that was owned by some guy.
Oberman, was it?
Well, no, before that even. Owned 40 acres there. And at 12 o'clock at night, we got out with her, walked all the way up that cornfield, the top where the stadium thing is now. Walked up, we walked back down it, and we said, well, we bought it in two 20-acre patches. What was that guy's name? Marshall or... It was an old Epworth name. He moved away, but he sold us 20 acres, and then I think Overbreckling did have 20 acres. We put them two together and made the 40 acres.
So you did a midnight, so that...
Mid, and
speculation purposes.
We stood up on that... On that gravel road at probably 12:30 at night and looked up and said, that's where the high school is going. I never forgot that.
Now, like that first year... You had 51 one-room schools, but you went to just so many centers.
Yeah.
You eliminated a bunch of them.
Well,
some of them didn't have kids anyway, right? From school.
No. You mean the they didn't have any kids, no schools in them, other than those 19 or so public one-roomers.
Okay.
Some of them did. Some parts, like the northern part, New Vienna, Luxembourg, Holy Cross, they didn't have any public school, any one-room schools. They were all Catholic schools. But down in the south, down in around Cascade, Whitewater Township, Bernard, they were all one-room schools yet.
Yeah, Butler number one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So But there wasn't much of a fight in getting rid of them. We just did the best we could, and then it was over, and they moved in, and I can still remember kids coming to the high school at Epworth in 1961, and the guy would say, "I'm from Bernard," and I'd say, "Where's that?" Somebody from Holy Cross said, "Never heard of that."
That was unique. Yeah. I remember, you could have had a guy ask a girl for a date at Epworth High School, and he might have lived 7 miles south of Bernard, down there at the other side of Hopkins.
Yes.
And the girl could have lived up there at the other side of Paul Town. It'd be a 60-mile drive, and not a nothing streak to pick her up.
That's probably a lot of that went on.
That was unique.
It was a fantastic area at the time, and I bragged about it all over the state. I said, you know, we're getting a doggone good public school system here, and I made them like it, and we did pretty good. And of course, we held taxes down. It was a real tight going. I couldn't move. I had one case somewhere in probably in the 60s. I remember the date. We had just passed a bond issue, and I needed another one so bad. And I tried at 2 or 3 board member meetings. I said, we got to get going. It was summertime. I don't know what year. And I had had 3-4 board meetings where I couldn't move the board. They just wouldn't do it. So I walked in, and I said, I'm either going to get this tonight or you have my resignation. I'm quitting. I'm not going to go any further. It's either tonight or never. And the Verne says, let's get this over with. And they went 5-0.
What year was that one?
Well, it had to be probably somewhere in the 60s.
Yeah.
One of the early days, 68 or 5 or something.
We built the Farley open in 69, the big one.
Yeah.
I don't remember whether else we were building anything else then. We might have been. We built an addition in Bernard before that.
Well, you know, we had 200 kids in Bernard one time.
Yeah, I remember. I was principal down there.
Yes,
it was
you were.
Unbelievable. And
200
Dick
kids
took my place. We had classes of 25 to 30 in each grade level, and we had a double session kindergarten.
Yep.
And now, you know, it's.
But Tom, in all honesty, you the guys that made Western Dubuque, I'm not kidding myself at all, you put through a lot of stuff. You went and you didn't get paid very darn good, and they were a conservative bunch. Remember those 46 portable classrooms? Do you remember that shanty town we had in back of the high school?
Well, we had 14,
with the walkways and the
14 at Farley. Yeah, man, we had elementary there couple of years before the Farley building.
And then them doggone places with the tin roofs when it was raining, it sounded like a shivery.
But going back to that first year, so when you were recruiting those kindergarten kids, you were actually recruiting them to go to like a one-room school because you didn't have any, or Epworth or Farley.
No, not so.
Well,
I didn't.
Well, so you didn't have those new buildings yet. So
we must have had. I don't know that we had 360 that first enrollment. I remember.
No, I bet you those kindergarten.
But we did. Well, I guess we did have some kindergarten in the elementary, in the one rooms, but not much.
Did you have a school in Dyer?
Yeah,
where before the new one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the old building.
Oh, the old building was right on the same location?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you tore that down and then built a new one?
Yeah.
Was that just kindergarten probably?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You probably got quite a few to go there, huh?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, you had busing right from the first year, though, didn't you? Probably not too many, huh?
Remember the first night, they brought a bus down from Waterloo or somebody to sell the board. And we all marched out. We went through that bus and sat in the seats, turned the wheel, and said, we'll take it.
What you bought? Was a used one?
Yeah. No, a new one.
Oh, new one? Well, as big as our district is, yeah.
Then
how many buses did you have the first year? I wonder. Probably not too many, huh?
We didn't have any the first year.
Well, we did. So they had to bring their kids to kindergarten?
They had to come and get there best they could. Mm-hmm. One of the other thrills later on that I had was when we when they passed that law to haul the parochial kids.
Oh, yeah.
That was in the spring in the legislative session. And here it was, bingo. So I said, well, they said, do the best you can. So the guy come in, and I looked them all over, so I'll take 34 of them.
Oh, man.
I bought 34 buses, and then I had to go to Des Moines. I went myself, and I brought back a check for, I don't know, a couple million dollars to pay for the buses.
Wow.
And then we did that. I did it all by hand. I put every one of them old plugs in and
string,
everything else.
Yeah,
I didn't have any computers or anything at all. I just did it by hand and work all summer. And then I had an old Buick, and I'd go around and I'd stop and write it down, go six, another mile, write it down, get the numbers down.
Where'd you get the bus drivers then?
Didn't have any trouble.
Ken Kennedy was one of the first.
Yeah, Kennedy.
Junior
kids. Kids all laughed at him.
But he looked like he got poured into the seat.
But they too were good people. We
Frank Conzen was a bus driver.
We run them buses all those years, millions of miles. We never had a fatality, never had a serious accident.
No.
The bus that hit the oil truck or something at Epworth, but there was no kids on it, thank God.
And she didn't get hurt either.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's remarkable. I mean, it's a model district in itself, the size of it, and then the transportation.
You know, honestly, that was the thing that worried me the most. A lot of nights, if there was any kind of storm or anything, I'd sit there, especially after we got the radios. I wait until they all checked in before I go home.
Yeah, it was early 70s, I think.
Yeah.
I can't remember that.
You got the radio.
That was a big deal. You got the radios.
Well, I had a fight for that, too.
Yeah.
I bet.
Motorola, I remember, yeah.
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 Those days are gone, so. It was a good experience. It turned out right. It had to be. Probably wouldn't have happened if it wasn't at the time. You know, times like I remember when Aquin, that was a big affair. When that closed.
Yeah.
That was 75, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And they the first one. Well, to close Camille.
Well, when
Farley closed.
Close before that?
Before that, I think. Yeah, 74, I think.
Was it?
So that was 76, effort, Cascade.
Yeah, but Farley was just before
probably,
that.
I think so.
Yeah.
We had the ninth grade there for a while.
Yeah.
Yep.
Remember?
We opened Farley, we had shared time high school.
That was a tough time down at Cascade. There was a group there that really fought us, the McDermott gang, Miss Margie McDermott. I think it was. Anyway, they really didn't want to leave that goal, that ACT one. And they fought us all. Come to a meeting one night, and boy, they were lined up, ready to knock our heads off. But it passed, and then I had quite a hair. You know, I had to go down then, and that was another hurry-up job. We were going to run it that fall. So I went down, and for 2 days, I interviewed their teachers. I hired about half of them, but I hired six guys. I can't think of you know who they are, Bill, yeah. Bauer and all of them,
David
Marshall,
Schultz,
and
Marshall.
That I hired those six, and they stayed for 30 years.
Yeah.
And they were a great team.
Donovan would have been.
Yeah,
they were. That was a great.
They were a great team. And then the funny part of it is, I came back, you know, to do that 1 year, and that's the year they all retired.
Well, Cascade, I remember they were going to close, and then they didn't have some guy in Chicago, some Irishman, came up with a lot of money.
Yeah.
And then
he got forgot that.
He got in trouble with the law or something, and
yeah.
All of a sudden, they had no money. Cascade High School.
Yeah. Cascade, though, was one of the successes of Western Dubuque. They came out of that with a good high school and a very strong, well-supported private school. And to this day, today, they're a strong system, the Aquin, down there. And because they could handle that, and if they were slopping along and with the high school, not, they broke on both ends.
Well, that unified our district a lot, too. I mean, when we got all those people supporting us and having their kids go to the high school, I mean, yeah. St. Farley.
We still have, in the last years I was there, still a lot of support for closing the Cascade High School. Joe Earle was on the board in those days, and he kept after one high school. And he didn't want it at Epworth either. He wanted somewhere down the middle somewhere.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Which maybe would have been all right, but didn't turn out that way, so... And of course, some of the most tumultuous days was the time we had to close down the shared time.
Oh,
yeah. You know, we were probably, I had 600-700 kids counted full time in shared time, which was a big part of our budget, mm-hmm. And I can remember that night. We met over in Beckman High School. They wanted a meeting. And they had the parochial people all were there. And they were really nasty. It was bad. We were out, the whole board was on the stage with me. But it got nasty. They said things that weren't nice.
Was there one couple that brought that issue to the board?
Yeah, oh, from up at Holy Cross.
Yeah.
Well,
that was building up for quite a while.
Yeah.
But I had a record on paper all the way through. Every year I insisted, and they knew this in Des Moines. I said, I'm insisting that you come out and look at this. This is where we got it. We got kids in Corton Camp Hall in fourth grade. Take a look. I didn't want to say, what are you doing? You know, so they finally got on me, but when I didn't surprise them, I said, but that night I got home, I went upstairs and the phone rang and the guy said, you better get your ass out of town because we're after you.
This was after you cut the shared time?
Yeah. That's life, but... That was too bad, but
that meeting was at Beckman. There.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that when they voted? Actually,
on a positive side, though,
that was an information meeting, probably.
Positive side, Father Ptacek.
Yeah.
Who was a real good friend of mine, and he still is. Just great guys up at Charles City now. He's retired. But when the going gets rough, he got up and he walked to the front and he said, "Hold it. These people are our friends. They're doing the best they can. They're here because they wanted to help you. Knock it off." And in almost in that language.
He was a pastor. At
and
there.
It just stopped.
He was a pastor. Is that
yeah.
Well, that was good.
He saved my butt a couple other times, different meetings. He was very supportive. He'd been up here, and I introduced him to the... superintendents of that area, the old athletic league, and he was really a fine man. He did a lot of good.
Yeah, I remember him.
See, before Father, what was it? Hayek, was it?
Father Hayek. Yeah. Been after him, I think.
Is he after him?
He's up.
Which guy was a Cardinal fan? He wore a Cardinal coat all the time. Courier? No, not Courier.
Yeah, that's him. Wasn't it?
Was it Courier?
No, yeah. I don't think it was Courier, was it?
I remember that, the guy coming into my office with his Cardinal.
Yeah.
Who was that? Yeah, it was. I think it was Pochett.
Yeah. Courier was just Farley for a couple of years. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I wouldn't mind going to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have a little break?
Sure. go.
I had some coffee.
You want me to take you out there? Oh!
Look out the river here.